If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Stories that not only impact the business fraternity, the South African economy, but the livelihoods of so many South Africans. And since last week's announcement of the potential closure of ArcelorMittal South Africa's long steel production plant, both in Newcastle and in Vereeniging has come to the fore, we've been peeling back at the various layers and consequences that we might have to face should this closure take place. Tonight, we are focusing on the impact it will likely have on the automotive manufacturing space in South Africa. Someone who can share more details here is Renee Mutila, the CEO of the National Association of Automotive Component and Allied Manufacturers, also known as NACAM. Renee, such a pleasure to have you, and welcome back to Kaya Biz in the new year.
Thanks, Guguletu. Thanks for having me. I wish you well and your listeners as well. All the best for 2025, and you particularly. I hope your visa comes through.
Oh, yes. Definitely. It's been quite a rat race, but we're crossing fingers and holding thumbs. But let's talk about the significance of this ArcelorMittal announcement. For many of us, we just think of the long steel production capacity, and from what we understand, it's really used significantly within the infrastructure space. But how? Help us understand the relationship that an institution like ArcelorMittal has with members of your association in the automotive component manufacturing space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the announcement made by ArcelorMittal of the closure of the long steel production at the end of January has to some extent put the automotive manufacturing sector in a tough situation, in that there's not sufficient time to deal with the impact of that kind of announcement. And it comes on the back of having had a similar announcement towards the end of 2023, which then kickstarted a range of engagements, both at industry level and at government level, and particularly AMSA and government level, which at that point resulted in a decision not to close the plant. And as far as we were concerned, right up until the end of last year, things were almost expected to continue in terms of their production this year.
Mm-hmm.
What it has now created is a situation where both OEMs and component manufacturers who supply those vehicle assembly plants are likely to, by the middle of this year, not be in a position to produce certain safety critical components that go onto assembly lines for vehicle production. And that's a really serious outcome, other than immediate job losses, of which we can expect, if the plant closure goes ahead at the end of this month, you can expect component plant job losses virtually instantaneously.
Oh, no.
If materials are not available to be swapped into production.
And over the medium term,
you can expect a lot more component imports into South Africa's vehicle plants.
And that, I'm assuming, would then have a direct consequence on pricing and how that can be accessed by consumers like you and I.
Yeah, to some extent, but understanding that South Africa is also a producer of significant levels of exported product. So to some extent, the domestic consumer outcome may be negative. I do think the bigger impact will be for the volume of products that South Africa is able to supply on global markets, both from vehicle assembles and some of component exports. And the impact will be felt in terms of jobs and livelihoods and opportunities for new investment in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the most serious.
Soon to put a number to those job losses and more so maybe even a number to the loss of revenue that would be generated in the components manufacturing industry.
Yeah, so I think I can definitely give an answer to the jobs number. If nothing changes, if the plant does shut down and is unable to offer a level of stock that can at least run component manufacturers for the coming year, a 12-month period, I think we could easily see up to 3,000 immediate job losses at component level.
Mm.
If there aren't suitable import steel suppliers found during the course of this year, and the OEMs are unable to grade and qualify their steel for domestic production, I think there's already a further 13,000 jobs that can be impacted.
Sure.
And I think, like you mentioned earlier, all of this creates competitiveness challenges for the entire auto's value chain, which employs more than 100,000 vehicles. And over the long term, the more and more you hurt our competitiveness value proposition, the more you put at risk close to 100,000 jobs.
What I'm keen to understand, Renee, as an organization or representative of larger industry, have there been engagements that you've had not only with government but other key stakeholders, including ArcelorMittal, to, I guess, prioritize the sustainability of an organization like ArcelorMittal South Africa?
Yeah, I think we have been very clear in our ask. As a sector, and again, I go back to where we were last year, right up until December. This announcement from ArcelorMittal came out last week, Monday. But as of the end of last year, the expectation was that discussions between the state and ArcelorMittal was progressing to a range of supportive measures that were needed to ensure that long production continues in South Africa. So the engagements have been happening over a fairly long period. The parties have not found each other up until this point, and we find ourselves where we are as a sector. I think the priority and the ask is very clear. We cannot allow a shutdown of long steel production by the end of January, or we cannot accept it by the end of January unless there are measures in place that allow for at least a 12-month buffer time and stock available to the automotive sector of specialty long steel product that allows time to find suitable either domestic or imported supplier. If we cannot get that 12-month buffer, I think it's going to be very quickly economic pain in our sector.
And one thing about your sector is that we have seen ongoing commitments from a number of the OEMs to actually lay capital in South Africa and commit to ongoing job creation opportunities. Worst case scenario, with the potential closure of ArcelorMittal, could that also sway the level of investment and financial commitment that has been made by a few OEMs in the market?
Yeah, I think so. I think what you will find is investments that have already been made, both at component and OEM level, will run out. They will deliver. What they may not do is deliver at optimal levels. So you could effectively find an investment that was made, for example, 150,000 vehicle volume production may end up with 100,000, 120,000, and then that has a spillover effect into the value chain, both at a component and subcomponent level. So the first impact is you don't necessarily fully leverage what would have been invested for previously. And then, of course, looking forward, when you start losing key raw material advantages, especially something like steel, then you make it even more difficult to attract new investment into new platforms and new components. I mean, just out of interest, a really interesting stat for me is that China, India, Japan have the highest number of blast steelmaking furnaces globally. And it's no coincidence that if you look at their vehicle export penetration rates, including in the South African market, that on its own should tell you what a key raw material advantage competitive steel supply is actually for the production of automotive product.
Sure. Renee, I can just imagine, you know, there's so many, you know, themes that certainly will be at play here. And as you say, the consequences of ArcelorMittal potentially facing closure are far-reaching, and the numbers could actually have ongoing ripple effects just in terms of their impact. But perhaps if we do try to close off on a positive note, as you've mentioned, you're engaging with stakeholders, you've made it very clear that the consequences would be quite dire for an industry like yours. But outside of that, if we do look at 2025 for the components manufacturing environment in South Africa, what are the prospects, especially now that the noise of politics have passed, inflation seems to have eased, and business generally seems a lot more optimistic about South Africa?
Yeah, I think you've allowed us to shift it into that mode. The reality is The stabilization that we saw over the second half of last year, the slight uptick in terms of growth levels, an expectation of a stronger domestic vehicle outlook, all of those should allow that the sector to some extent starts recovering from what were serious challenges last year. If I could maybe just talk about a potential advantage in this particular one,
sure.
I think if stakeholders are able to find a way of retaining the asset, and that asset being long steel production capability that's currently at Newcastle, and Korea, irrespective of who runs something like that, the potential for greater localization of steel-based components is quite significant. And that's kind of where we need to start shaping our thinking. Let's deal with whatever's led to this closure announcement. Let's find a way of extending the production under the current model. But let's realize that if we find a way of different running models, continuing the production will result in greater localization, and that's greater opportunity for South African manufacturing overall. So there could be a positive outcome out of all of this.
100%. Really need those solutions. So really grateful that you're bringing out some opportunities for us to consider here. Renee, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir, and really appreciate the perspective that you've given us. I guess next time we look at those headlines regarding job cuts at ArcelorMittal, it's beyond 3,500. As you say, it affects the automotive component manufacturers and so many other spheres of society that we need to be mindful of. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Renee Muthilal, who is the CEO of the National Association of Automotive Component and Allied Manufacturers, also referred to as NARCAM. This is where, yeah, the techie hits the tar in terms of understanding the importance of business industries and the impact on an economy and us as individuals. And I'm so keen to hear more from many of you who might be directly impacted by the potential developments that we see here at ArcelorMittal, if you've engaged with the company before, or maybe if you're one of those South Africans who's always been so intrigued by the history. A long history of business in South Africa, and even how ArcelorMittal started off as ISCO years ago as a state-owned entity to make sure that there was ongoing investment in places like Vereeniging, Newcastle, and other sectors in South Africa's economy. Share your thoughts with us, but definitely this gives you perspective that when we look at the potential closure of jobs, industries, companies, there are far-reaching ripple effects. Everything works within an ecosystem, and ultimately there's an influence that is made in every space. So share your thoughts with us on this one.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.